Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If I will take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if I depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like to the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord, exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after the Lot was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Rise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee." Then Abram moved his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Moriah, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Reading, if correctly read, the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. Appreciate all these preacher brethren being here tonight. Thank you for coming. We're honored for your presence. I love preachers, because I'm one myself, and I know how busy you are and how much demand there is on your time and efforts that you have to put forth to keep things going in the day in which we live. I know you have to let some things go to come to hear somebody preach. And I appreciate you taking time to come, and I pray God will give you a special blessing. It's always good to be with this church. It always blesses me to come to this church, because I know they're a great church in the Lord. May we pray. Thank you, Father, for the honor and the privilege of coming to Locust Grove to preach. We pray that you'll take thy servant and loose his tongue and illuminate his mind. Let us preach as if it was the... We pray, Heavenly Father, tonight to touch every heart in this building some way, somehow. We pray that you'll bless every home represented. We pray you'll bless every church represented. Bless these preacher brethren. They have problems and problems and problems. We know what they're going through with. But we're keenly conscious they don't have any that you can solve. And we pray that you will help them with their problems that they're facing day after day, night after night. Help them to know how to solve and what to do to solve them. We pray, Heavenly Father, for revivals to break each one of their churches. Oh, God, how we pray tonight for the other revivals going on in the county right now. They all need reviving. We need it. And that's why we're coming. And, God, we are conscious tonight. There's enough people in this county to fill every revival to an overflow capacity. And then not reach a tenth of the people. We pray for those that are out there tonight steeped in sin. Convict them to where they'll want to come in and hear something. And feel something. And do something about it. We pray tonight, O God, for those who pray, increase their faith and bless them. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, take thy servant, loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give him holy unction. Do your best for us tonight, O God, and we'll be grateful to you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We have one of the most interesting pictures and most interesting stories to me in the Word of God in this 13th chapter of Genesis. Most vivid thing I believe that the Word of God has given us. We have story here of two men going two directions. You know, the Lord usually takes two men and goes two directions. The Lord gave us two men and two directions another occasion in the 16th chapter of Luke. Said there was a man who'd spared sumptuously every day. Dressed in purple and fine linen. Rich man, had everything a man would want. And then there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus that laid his gate at the gate of the rich man, full of sores. Didn't even have a change of clothes. Didn't have a bite of food. Couldn't even motivate. Somebody had to carry him, and they carried him out there and laid him out at the rich man's gate that he might crawl up and reach his hand in the garbage can and get him a bite to eat when they brought the garbage from the rich man's house. There's the two men. One as poor as he can get. Sores all over him. All the bath he had was the dogs licked his hands and his face. Corruption running out of the sores until his clothes stuck. You could smell him way down the streets. But somehow or another, he got saved. And he died out there by the gate. But God sent an angel and picked him up. Lifted him out of that old carcass and carried him to Abraham's bosom. And he had a glorious time from then on. The rich man with all of the riches you could hope for. All you could ever think about. Finest of clothes, made out of the finest of cloths. Finest of food, finest chefs to cook it. Finest furniture, finest house. Businessman of great influence, the bankers sought his friendship. Businessmen sought his counsel. Politicians sought his friendship. The clubs sought his membership because of who he was. But he died and went to hell. Wasn't no God's angel to pick him up. And he dropped off in hell. And all of the good he'd enjoyed was over with. He come his hollering water immediately. Now Jesus gave us that picture to people. Jesus and the Word of God definitely speaks of only two places, heaven and hell. A high way, a low way. A right way, a wrong way. A bad way, a good way. There's just two ways, in other words. Two types of people, in other words. I talked to you about a man last night who was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus. The brainiest man that we've ever known about. The most experimental man we've ever known about was Solomon. Nobody ever run as many experiences as he had. Nobody was ever as smart as he outside of Jesus. And he tried all the things there was to try out the man, and then wound up saying, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher," the conclusion of the whole matter, "you better fear God and keep his commandments." Now here we go back and pick up again, and here it goes. Two men involved again. One of them's name is Abraham, a friend of God, a man of God. A man believed in God, and God said, "Abraham, go unto a place that I shall show thee. Pull up and move out." And Abraham starts. They said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I don't know. God told me to go, and I'm just going." The community said, "Have you heard about Uncle Abram? The poor fellow's lost his mind. He's pulled stakes and just got his tent and equipment and his folks and his herds, just headed out. He don't even know where he's going. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that silly? Poor fella. I wouldn't go that way if I had that." But Abraham was a friend of God, and God had talked to him, and he's willing to listen to God and follow God's direction. And here he goes. When he got there, God said, "Abraham, here's where, won't you?" When God told him, "Here's the place," Abraham drove down the stake and built an altar and worshiped God. That is all he needed to do. He had plenty of silver. He had plenty of gold. He had all kinds of herds. What is he to worry about? He had it made anyhow. And so he wanted to keep and on the good side with God. And he just got out and built an altar and stayed with God and prayed. Just because he went to a new place. He didn't try to put on a front and live some other kind of life. He let them know what he was when he got there. We got a lot of Baptists that get in a new place and they try to fool folks and make folks think they're what they ain't. They ain't no need of fooling. They'll find out what kind of fool you are if you fool them. And as a result, Abraham just built an altar and prayed. His nephew went along with him. And they got there and got established and they started grazing their herds and the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot got aggravated at each other and they started to fuss. Abraham called Lot in and said, "Look here, we're brethren. We're not going to have any fussing. Let's just get that over with. I don't believe in fussing and the strife. We're just going to have, you said we're going to have it, Lot. I tell you what you do, the whole thing's out here in front of us. He's got over here. We're going to claim it anyhow. It's all ours. And you just claim what you want, and I'll take what's left. There'll be plenty for both of us." No, Lot goes out and looks around and surveys around. He sees all the territory where there's plenty of grass and plenty of water, scratches his head a little bit and said, oh, down there in the plains of Jordan where there's plenty of grass and plenty of water, I can take my herd and my family down there, and I got it made. Uncle Abram's done got it made. He don't need to make it anymore anyhow. I'll just leave him up here on the hills with no grass, no water. Don't make any difference whether his cattle live or not. Don't make no difference whether he makes anything or not. I'll just go and take it. Well, he said, Uncle Abram, I'll take the plains of Jordan. Well, Abraham didn't get mad and pitch a fit. He just let him take it. When Lot got all moved out, got his family, got his headmen and moved out, old Abraham built another altar and worshiped God. And while he's worshiping God, God punched him and said, get up now, Abraham. Look northward, look eastward, look southward, look westward. Every way you look is yours. It's all going to be yours because you got the right spirit. Wherever you go, you pray and you worship. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Who do you think God's going to give everything to? The whirlings and the devil's crowd? If you think that Joe brings on a vacation, you got room for rent in your attic. God's going to give everything to his youngins. And so as a result, he said, Abraham, just live it over. When it's all over, you'll own it. Little did Lot know he wasn't going to have anything left when God got through him for the move he made. Selfishness got in Lot's heart. Selfishness got Lot with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd gets Lot away from God. And when he gets away from God, God gets everything Lot's got away from him. And leaves him broke and everything else. Thou shalt not go with the multitudes to do evil. Few there be that enter therein. Not of the one that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter therein. Strive to enter in, because straight and narrow is the path. Choose ye this day whom you serve. Whatever kind of God you want to serve, help yourself. But as for me and my house, old Solomon said, the conclusion of it, you better serve God. Because he's going to run the show now, he's run it till now, and he'll run it till it's over and forevermore, and you better get in with God and stay with him. Amen. Thou shalt not go with the multitudes to do evil. But Lot listened to the crowd. You mind ya? He is herdman. He listened to his herdman instead of listening to God. He listened to the herdman instead of listening to Uncle Abram, who loved God. He listened to the fussing crowd instead of listening to the praying crowd. Which crowd are you listening to, the cussing and the fussing crowd and the complaining crowd? Or are you listening to the praying crowd? You better decide which crowd you're going to listen to and decide which crowd you're going with, because it'll determine how you're coming out and where you're coming out and when you're coming out. Lot said, I just don't want on this old time praying stuff. I just don't want all that religious. It's just too religious for me. And my family and my heaven just sick of all of this religious stuff. Just too religious. Expect too much of us. And we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we can't go here, and we can't go here. We'll just pull up and go down yonder. And they went. And when they got down there, they pitched there, he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the sinners were exceedingly sinful. Now, what I want you to catch out of the message tonight, exceedingly sinful. What does that mean? Exceedingly means it exceeds everything else. They're so sinful down there, it exceeded goodness, it exceeded a prayer, it exceeded living a Christian life, it exceeded righteousness, it exceeded altars, it exceeded everything. Sinful, exceedingly sinful. That crowd was so sinful, it exceeded everything else. It took over everything else. It smothered out everything else. And there wasn't nothing but sin down there. Now, when you leave the altars and pitch your tent to a crowd that's so exceedingly sinful, they smother out your plan, smother out your godliness, smother out your righteous living, and smother out you living for God, you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your possessions, you're going to lose a lot of things with that crowd. See? Who are you pitching your tent with? Folks that pitched their tent with Abram. What the game? They gained everything that you see in the north and the east and the west and the south. And they gained a blessing for the young'uns and the grand young'uns and the great grand young'uns and the great, 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 great grand young'uns. And are still gaining. And God won't even allow me and you and nobody else to curse him without he curses us. That's the difference. But I want you to know, my friends, Lot pitched with that crowd was exceedingly sinful. They're so sinful they covered up all of the godliness. They covered up all the righteousness. They covered up the prayer altars. They did away with all of that, and sin took over in Lot's family, in Lot's herds, and everything Lot had. It took over. God's out. Exceedingly exceeded everything. So exceedingly sinful, they didn't have a chance to pray. They didn't have a chance to live right. They didn't have a chance to bring the children up. They didn't have a chance to make nothing. I'll tell you, the devil is a destroyer. He's a devourer. And he isn't going to give that bunch a chance to build up nothing, to save nothing, to do it. What do you think the devil's in this world for? He's a destroyer. He's a robber. Sin is a waster. The prodigal son went out with a bunch of it, but he wasted it all in righteous living. Lot had wealth. He was rich, herds and herdmen and family, but Lot lost it all. Come back without any family, come back without any herd or herdsmen out in the wealth or a wife or anything else. He lost it all. Balls! He pitched his tent where sin was so exceedingly it took over. Who are you pitching your tent with? It's going to have an effect on your family. It's going to have an effect on you. It's going to have an effect on your wealth. It's going to have an effect on your health. It's going to have an effect on your character. It's going to have an effect on your future. It's going to have an effect on your happiness. It's going to have an effect on your mind. It's going to have an effect on everything that's good when you pitch your influence, your family, and yourself down with exceedingly sinful crowd. Thou shalt not go with that multitude. Hey, my brother, sister, the devil's crowd's got a lot more than the saints. You know how few the saints are in this community. The devil's crowd is in the majority around Locust Grove in Union County. And you start pitching your influence with that crowd, they're going to steal, they're going to cheat, they're going to lie, they're going to disgrace you, they're going to mistreat you, they're going to ruin you and ruin your families and ruin your homes and steal your wives and break up your homes and rob you of what you got and laugh in your face while they do it. Be careful where you're pitching your tent. You better pitch them where Grandpa and Grandma and Pop and Mama pitched those tents around the altar of God and prayed, and God blessed them and protected them, and they came up happy and give you a decent heritage. And you better protect that heritage by keeping them to stand with the altar and stand in the faith. And God and the heritage that you inherited from your mamas and papas of yesterday who prayed and who paid the price of a great Christian heritage. That's what we better face. Just pitch it down there. Prodigal son pitched in all he had. He wound up eating with the pigs. Sleeping with the pigs. That's the best bed he had was a hog bed. Best food he had was the slop the hogs eat. One time he had the best of food, the best of everything, best home, plenty of money, plenty of clothes, plenty of everything. But when he got down and said, "Give me the portion that belongs to me, old man. I'm not going to be bossed and controlled any longer. Give me what belongs to me, old man. I'm gone." He got it. He went down to the far country. The multitude was waiting. They got him. The liquor crowd, the crooked women, the prostitutes, the harlots, got him. Sick maniacs, sin orgies, got him. The thieves robbed him. The alcoholics made a drunk out of him. And they drained him of everything, and when they got him, they laughed at him. Got to eat up the diseases, and the worst old filthy women didn't want him then. Immoral women, harlots didn't want him. He's got too bad disease. He has nothing for him there, through with him. And the whiskey stores didn't want him. He didn't have money to spend. They didn't want him around their doors. He's bad advertisement. Why don't this dirty liquor crowd go out and when they're kidding on arguing licking one legalized liquor, beer, and wine, why don't they get all the drunks and all these old beer-drinking, slobbering alcoholics out in front and time out there and say, "Here's what our product does."
Good preaching,
brother. Why don't they want to turn on bright lights for it and pretty pictures? Why don't they go out and get a bunch of drunkheads and a bunch of corpse, wrecked cars and wrecked automobiles that bunch of drunks will kill, and hang it on the doors and say, "Come on, legalize it. That's what it does." Yeah. Why don't you show a bunch of orphan children crying and begging for bread, barefooted, and not enough clothes on? Say, "Here's what our product does." Why don't that liquor crowd advertise and be honest? That dirty bunch of crooks, that dirty bunch of liars. Said liquor don't hurt them. The innocent, that's a lie. And I'm telling the liquor crowd they're lies.
Yes,
you look in the face of one and tell any grinder that makes it, anybody that sells it, anybody that drinks it, it's a dirty lie.
Yeah.
Drunk devil run over my sister and killed and left five little innocent children. I had to raise them, because they didn't have a mother. She'd taught school all day and got on the school bus and standing on the side of the road, waiting for a neighbor to come and get off the X bus, and they're going to walk the hill together home. This old drunk come down the road and left the road and run on her. And
When the law got on there, the oldest little girl got on there and lifted her mother's head up in her lap and the water blood running out of her head, looked up that old drunk and said, "You kill my mother." He said, "You shut your blankety-blanky mouth, I'll stomp your brains out on the pavement like I've knocked your mother out." I'm glad I wasn't there, because I might have lost my temper and stomped his out. But he'll not tell me that it's all right to legalize liquor, and none of the liquor crowd will tell me that. I don't care what the alcoholic bunch, legalizing liquor and beer and wine and stuff like that, thou shalt not go with that crowd, exceedingly sinful. And my friends, when you go to that crowd, you're selling too many souls to hell, right. Selling too many homes to wreckage. Thou shalt not pitch thy tent with the liquor crowd and the beer crowd and the honky-tonk crowds and the beer gardens and the hell holes and the dance halls and the pool halls of this country. That ain't business to pitch your tent with that crowd. You can just face it tonight. That ain't the place you to pitch your tent. If you're God's child. Your place is the altar. Oh, preacher, you want to speak to religion? What of it? Religion's never hurt nobody. Lack of it's wearing a lot of us. But it never has hurt anybody, and it's going to hurt you. A good dose of it will help you. Come on and face it. That crowd is exceedingly sinful. All they wanted out of the prodigal son is all he had. When they'd stripped him, they sue with him. There's another in the Bible. There's a young son, handsome, clean, pure, and society wined him and danced him and drank him and made a wild man out of him. And they couldn't put up with him, and the law couldn't handle him, he'd get in jail, he'd break out of jail. He'd go and break in the graveyard and pull up the skeletons and the corpse and dance with them. Stayed in the graveyard! But mind you, one day he's some mama's innocent boy. But he pitched his tent, his life, with the wrong crowd. They made a wild man out of him. He'd go and break in tombs and get the skeletons and the corpse out and try to commit sin with them. Dance with skeletons. Dance out in the graveyard with a corpse and scream! Take a sharp rocks and cut himself, strip his clothes off. And scream! The multitudes. That's what's the matter with these folks running naked. They got devils in them. And that's what makes them want to scream. They're not praising God. They're screaming because it's the voice of devils. You can hear their old squealing gals that's running around naked and putting on shows. They scream like a demon. They don't praise anybody like God. Raw the multitudes. I shall not go with that crowd that's sinning against God. God's got altars. And God said, "Where art thou?" Remember I'm a sermon the first night? "Where art thou, Adam?" Well, what was down there where the men was exceedingly sin? What do you mean? Sinning so much, it just gripped him in. Gripped in his family. You listen to this old preacher. Listen to this old preacher tonight. We live in a world that's exceedingly sinful. And you get out fooling with a brother or sister that adds and lessons, you'd overtake you. She's exceedingly sinful. I've never seen so much sin loose. I've never seen the devil so wild as I travel across this nation from city to city, town to town, countryside to countryside. She's getting wild and woolly. Exceedingly sinful. The majority of people are turning to sin. To drink, to dope, to cussing, to sex, homosexuals and lesbians and running each other, committing adultery. All of that stuff going on. All of these abortions. All of the sex acts that cause women to have abortions. All of it's popular. Popular. Exceedingly simple. That crowd's taking over. That crowd's running society. Hey, that crowd's controlling politics. These politicians are afraid to pass laws, and they're trying to do it away the ones that does protect us. Why? The exceedingly sinful crowd. There's so many people, more people for sin tonight. Our politicians are softened. Pardon me. But a great percent of our preachers are becoming compromising, pussy-footing, ear-tickling preachers. Because they're afraid to stand up. They've got too many folks done gone with the multitude. Seedingly sinful. The thing is, you become so seedingly sinful. You can call them anything but a prayer meeting. Try to get them to pray. They'll go to a ball game. They'll go to a picnic. They'll go to a singing. They'll go to any kind of entertainment. They'll call a prayer meeting and see where they go. Call it. If you think your old man don't know what he's talking about, try it. I sure might cool with a multitude. Exceeding. Lot was a good boy when he went down there. Notice what the scripture said. It vexed his righteous soul. He is righteous. It vexed his soul. He gets out down there with a crowd, and they're so exceedingly sinful, it just swamps him. Just overtakes him. He don't know what to give. His family's got in it. His herdman's got in it. Everybody's in it. And he's just swamped with it. He don't know how to get out. And did you know we're fast coming that way? We're getting swamped with the devil's crowd. We get swamped with our church crowd. They just don't want the preachers to preach against sin anymore. The church mustn't have discipline anymore. Used to, you had to be somebody that belonged to a Baptist church. You can be nearly anything that belonged to a Baptist church now. Don't want discipline, don't want the preacher to preach against it. We're just swamped. And as a result, we're losing. We're losing. We're losing. Lot lost his influence on his family, lost his influence on his herdmen. He lost his business. He lost his future. He failed. He lost his herdmen and his herds. He lost his happiness. He lost his peace. He lost the sight of godliness. He lost his power. He lost his privilege of praying. He lost his spiritual sensitivities. He lost his protection. You don't have any protection when you're living out there. He lost all that. Why? The exceedingly sinful crowd smothered him out. Exceedingly sinful! Brother, sister, lads and lasses, we're living in an exceedingly sinful world. And all one thing is safe ground, and that's the altars of God. Conclusion of the whole matter is you better keep with God. You better fear God and serve God. We stop to realize the road is broad and many there be that enter therein. Because narrow is the way and few there be that enter the narrow way. You better struggle. Caleb and Joshua went the narrow road. The rest of the crowd said, "There's giants, we can't handle them. We can't go." And as a result, the rest of them wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and most of them died in the wilderness. He parted. As a result, he pitched his family and herdmen in that exceedingly sinful bunch. And as a result, he lost everything. You see his property go. You see his wealth go. And then God burned everything you had and left the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea stands today where his herds used to be, where his herdmen used to be, where he used to live, where his family used to have a high healing time. It's the Dead Sea today. It's been that way 2,000 years now. The level of the water in that Dead Sea didn't rise or fall. Yet live streams, pure water on earth, runs in there and it comes dead water when it goes in. Tells us in the book of Peter that God left it there to warn others that live ungodly. And I want you to know tonight, my friends, that the whole story, exceedingly sinful as the Sodomites and Gomorrahites. Abram said, "Can I find 10 you have spared?" God said, "Yes." I'm thankful to God there's still a few of you righteous. We've still got a few preachers that'll preach. Still got a few deacons that'll deacon, a few teachers that'll teach, and a few singers that'll sing the truth. God bless you. Because that's what's holding over us. And we need to keep coming. You don't go down with the multitudes. You don't take on with the multitudes to be popular. Don't pitch your tent with the ungodly crowd, the exceeding the sinful crowd. My friends, watch where you pitch a tent. That crowd will rob you of everything that's worthwhile. Pitch a tent with God. Pitch a tent at the altar. Pitch a tent where you can pray. Pitch your family where you can pray. Pitch a family where they can touch with God, base with God. You need it. I need it. Lot's choice. Swapped out everything you had. And Lot never didn't gain anything back. Lost it all. And when God takes it all away, you'll never get it back, neighbor. He'll leave you broke. And the best thing, God's blessed Abraham, blessed his descendants, still blesses and blesses sin. That is, from Genesis to Revelation, God pictures two things, good and bad, right and wrong, heaven and hell, blessed and cursed. I said that if I call heaven and earth as a witness today, I've said before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. He wants your offspring to have a decent living. He wants your offspring to have somewhere to live. You owe it to the unborn children to have a decent birth, to have a decent living, and a decent place to live in. And you can't run off and pitch your life and your influence and what you got in with the exceeding sinful bunch of today and leave your children a respectable birth and a respectable place to live in, and your grandchildren come along and get a respectable birth and a respectable income for life. You just can't do it. We must stay with our altars. We must stay with our churches. We must stay with the Word of God. We must come to the conclusion that Solomon come to. And that is, concluding the whole matter, fear God, keep His commandments, stay with God, stay with the orders, don't pitch your tent up anywhere else, it'll fail, it'll flop, because the sinners are so much exceedingly more than we. They'll excel us, they'll exceed us, they overcome us, they smut us out, they take us over, they ride us down, they outdo us. Let's stay with God.